Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby, and this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Andy was broadcasting from home today for reasons that will become apparent. We were joined by Charlie Baker, whose team Torquay United were involved in one of the weirdest games of the weekend in the FA Cup. We also spoke to a surgeon who worked with a lot of top names in sport. He's written his story. Also, very interesting tale, an odd tale from Russia in Andy Brassel's European Roundup. Don't Ask Me was quite contentious, as you'll discover. And, of course, myself and Andy had a bit of a chat about different things. So here it all is.
Good afternoon, everyone, and live via satellite from West London. Good afternoon, Andy.
Afternoon, Paul. Afternoon, everybody. Yes, not happy about this, but what can you do? Yes, we. You mentioned Don't Ask Me then. It's funny, I got a Instagram message from a listener saying he wanted to know about the book that we reviewed last week with the author about Anfield, the cop, Jurgen Klopp, actually. And he said to me, what's it called and who's it by? I went, don't ask me. I just couldn't remember. So don't ask me that one, whatever happens.
Okay, well, I've done the questions now, so I can't tell you if it is in there or isn't in there. You'll have to sort of see it.
Well, he'll have to listen at 4 o'clock, so yes. 5 to 4 to see. I said to you last week, we were in the studio, and I said to you, football now has become like hockey. In hockey, if the ball inadvertently touches the foot, it's a free kick. And if it's in the air, it's a penalty. Mm. And that's the same with football now. If it touches your hand, it's a penalty. And I think they might as well introduce the penalty corner. You know that thing they do in hockey where they all stand on the line, the player takes the corner from sort of not the far corner, but sort of like halfway. He knocks it back to, say, the edge of the penalty area, and then you have a go, because you might as well, for those decisions, because they're definitely not penalties, whatever you do.
No.
Absolutely ludicrous. I thought De Bruyne must have thought it wasn't a penalty either. That's probably why he missed it. He thought, I better not put this in. That's so ridiculous. So,
when we realised, Andy, the other week, that the real reason that we're seeing more goals and more penalties and these decisions are being made is because Gianni Infantino, the head of FIFA, wants his legacy to be that when he leaves football, there would have been more goals scored under him than ever before. It just shows how completely out of touch he is with what fans want. Fans of even the clubs getting these iffy penalties, they don't want to see that. That's not the game that they want to witness. And the idea that because a game finishes 3-2 and not 2-1 because it had two dodgy penalties makes it a better game is nonsense.
No, it's nonsense. It's absolutely. It was a good game, though, the Liverpool City game. First half, especially, very exciting game of football. I enjoyed it a lot. And but there were some surprising results. Hey, Spurs, they're doing well, aren't they? I mean, they're not playing well, but they're doing well. And Kane is absolutely. He's peaked now. He's peaking. I mean, that header was just brilliant. It was such a brilliant header over the keeper. He's just a special, special player. So while he stays fit, I think Spurs are definitely going to be challenging. And it looks like, you know, there's 6 or 7 teams that are really decent this year. I mean, Chelsea played well on the weekend, that's for sure.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
It's Ben Jacobs here on Talk Sport. Well, we've got second round FA Cup draw this evening. A number of non-league clubs will be looking very closely at that, hoping for a bit of a glamour tie even in round two. Sadly, not so Torquay, who had played their part in an incredible game against Crawley Town yesterday. Despite being 2-0 up, they ultimately lost 6-5 with, not on penalties, in extra time. Watching it all unfold through the cracks in his fingers, not just our producer currently listening at home, no doubt, but Charlie Baker, TalkSport presenter and one half of the National Obsession podcast, which we should point out isn't a Torquay podcast. It covers all the National League. But good afternoon, Charlie.
Good afternoon, Andy. Good afternoon, Paul.
Wow, I can hear the disappointment in your voice.
Did Torquay play this weekend? I can't remember. I don't think we weren't in the cup, I don't think, anymore. I'm not sure about it.
Now, Charlie, what I would say is that is this one of the more bizarre games you've witnessed your team play? And this comes from a club who once stayed up because a police dog bit a goalkeeper. Yeah. So, it's quite tough to call it as more bizarre than that, really.
Yeah, I mean, this is typical Torquay United, to be honest. This is no surprise at all. When we went 5-3 up in extra time with 20 minutes to go, I thought, well, that's it. They're definitely going to win from here. This happened. I know every club thinks this sort of thing happens to them all the time, but this sort of thing happens to us all the time. It really does. We're so Spursy, it's unbelievable.
We should become twin clubs.
Exactly. We started so well. We went 2-0 up. We were absolutely running the game. We've had a brilliant season. Gary's got us really playing. We've got a really great squad, really good squad depth. We've just beat Aldershot 4-1. We're top of the National League. We beat Hartlepool last week 5-0. So we're top of the league and we're absolutely flying. So this came along at sort of the right time, bit of a free hit. And we were playing really, really well. 2-0 half time, cruising. Then, unfortunately, one of their goalkeeper got knocked out with pretty heavy concussion and went down for 16 minutes. And they brought in their other keeper. We lost some momentum. As you know, momentum is everything in sport and in football, especially in a cup tie. They got a silly penalty, let's call it that. And then the comeback started. It went to 2-2. We scored with a minute to go 3-2. And we thought, that's it, we've won it. Then, of course, they stuck one in at the back post and it went to 3-3 and went to extra time. And then it was like, well, it's anybody's now. Then we went 5-3 up with another penalty. And I thought, well, surely even we can't lose it from here. But, of course, we're Torquay United and that's just how it works. So, and the thing is, I'd have normally, because it was behind closed doors, we normally wouldn't have seen it. Would have been the odd Twitter update or whatever, and getting progressively more frustrated with it. But we could watch it on the red button, which is rare for Torquay United to be able to actually watch it on the telly. So yeah, just really frustrating. But you know what? I'm trying to find a positive for us, and I think the positive is it will stop any complacency we've had from scoring all those goals in the league, from the way we're playing. We are absolutely hammering teams, trouncing teams, and it will stop any complacency of that, and hopefully push us on to the title.
Yeah, Gary Johnson made the point of saying this mustn't derail the season. It was a great game. He seems reasonably sanguine about it and not too upset. I'm sure he's a bit annoyed. But had trouble closing out games, Charlie, as a team?
Not really, no. We've been pretty good last-minute S-House merchants, to be honest. really good sort of... We've won a few with the last kick of the game already this season. Mm. We only played 7 games. But the last 2 games, we've just steamrolled teams. But Gary's brilliant. Gary's been round the block so many times that he just never panics. And the squad he's built is excellent. We've got one player, Ben Whitfield, who we interviewed last week on the National Obsession podcast, and he is Gary on the pitch. You know when you want the manager on the pitch?
Yeah.
He's a little guy, but he's full of energy, full of running. He's got so much skill. He's playing probably 2 levels below himself, really driving us on. We've got loads of great experience. Asa Hall, Danny Wright, really, really good players who've been around the block, and loads of energy on loan as well. So we're a really good team. It was pretty disappointing because we had a result v Crawley probably 13 years ago where they scored in the last minute. In the next round they got Man United. So there's a little bit of a grudge there as well. But yeah, I mean, just trying to go, concentrate on the league, concentrate on the league, lads, concentrate on the league. We go again.
Yeah, of course. Now, the referee, a referee was beautifully named, I thought, quite posh for a referee. Charles Breakspear was in charge of the game.
Oh, was he?
Charles Breakspear. And it did remind me is that you go down the market and you're looking for a sort of barber. And you get there and you try it on. So this is nice. Is it a barber? They say, it's not, it's barber style. It's a Charles Breakspear.
Oh, yeah. Gigi Ormani.
it sounds quite, you'd think, oh, if it's better than that. It's a Charles Breakspear. I don't know where it takes me. I just thought I'd share that with. Are you familiar with his work? Has he been in the middle before? He was refereeing
as though he'd had a few pints of Breakspear.
I'm sure, Charles, if you're listening, that's not true. This is for a bitter Torquay fan. We don't think that for a minute.
The game started at 12:45, kicked off, and it finished at 3:30.
Really?
It was unbelievable. It was like a test match. It was unbelievable. Oh,
now, with a Schadenfreude hat on, Charlie, because your team goes out the FA Cup, so first you get the hit of seeing, I take it, we had Fletcher earlier on, who's a Woking fan, bringing us. You would have been pleased to see Woking go out, obviously, wouldn't you? That would have made it
Did
slightly
Exeter
better.
Go out? What happened with Exeter?
Exeter, I don't know. I don't look at them too much. I don't like them.
Oh, John does. He's obsessed with them.
The worst team in the league. So it's good to always see. Woking have been struggling.
They won their game, I see.
Oh, Exeter.
They beat Fylde, yeah. So they're through. So you can't get any Schadenfreude.
Woking lost to King's Lynn the other week. That was exciting because King's Lynn have been struggling. So
It's more Speedway country, really, isn't it? I mean, known for
exactly.
We're beaten by a Speedway team.
Ian Culverhouse.
Yes. Yeah. So is there anybody you'll be rooting for now? I mean, the Southend fans, he'll get behind Canvey, of course, now they're out. So is there another team you'll look out for?
Just not interested in the Cup now, to be honest. I'm only interested in the National League, and that's why on our podcast, The National Obsession, we just only focus on the whole National League. People think it's a Torquay podcast. It isn't.
Well, you did interview a Torquay player who said he was the manager on the pitch. It sounded pretty Torquay.
We do sponsor a Torquay player.
Yeah.
No, Cray Valley Paper Mills, did they lose? That was exciting, wasn't it? Marine, are they still in?
I think Marine is still in. I think Cray Valley win? I'm not quite sure they did. I think they lost to Havant and Waterlooville.
They got blown away.
They did. No,
well. they did. Welcome to 1972. What a day this has been.
Well, good stuff, Charlie. Always a pleasure.
Thanks, Charlie.
We will catch up with you soon. Thanks very
much. Thank you for helping me relive my pain. Cheers.
That's all right. It's a pleasure. You're back Saturday, I take it, with Max, are you?
Yeah, this Saturday, yeah.
Good
this
stuff.
Saturday, game day warm-up.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
We should have a look at this weird and wonderful story from Russia. Artem Zubyuin over from the World Cups.
He was great in the World Cup, wasn't he?
Yeah. Zenit striker.
We'll know him for something else now.
We will. A video of him having a bit of a one-man party. Shall we? Intimate one-man party. Shall we put it that way? Has surfaced. He says his phone was hacked, although you do wonder why you would keep a video of that for old time's sake anyway. But
some lonely nights when you're away on international duty, I guess.
Obviously.
Clearly. But it's not gone down well in Russia, is it?
No, he got dropped from the Russian national team for their forthcoming games, and he's such an important player to them. They released a statement. They said they thought it would be best to avoid any stress going forward. Well, presumably that had been Zubia's aim in the first place.
Yeah.
But he had the captaincy taken off him by Zenit, at least for the moment, given to Dejan Lovren, that safe pair of hands. And Zubia's day went from bad to worse when against Krasnodar. He got a penalty, missed it, tried to complain that the goalkeeper had come off his line prematurely, which he hadn't. But later, Zubia ended up scoring the winner as they went on to win 3-1.
I bet the Spartak fans are working as a song, working on a song, should I say. They'll be working on one for when they get back in the stadium and give him some step.
Well, it's been after the original video went viral.
Yeah.
Now, like, sort of, there have been lots of different versions of it been plastered all over Russian social media, so no one's going to forget about it in a hurry. I don't think
he's gone viral. Not a surprise.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Andy, we have a little bit of time for you to work your magic. No pressure.
No pressure at all.
I'll kick back and let you get on with it. So what have you noticed this weekend?
Well, Motti mentioned this, but this was an alleged row between Neil Swarbrick and Stuart Atwell at Stockley Park. Mm. And you don't know exactly what went on. But one thing that struck me, have a look at the photo and have a look at the floor. It looks like a student's bedroom, headphones and all sorts of stuff all over. It's not very tidy at Stockley Park. I was quite shocked.
What were you expecting? I mean, I'd expect all sort of spent crisp packets and pizza boxes and cans of Red Bull. And don't you think that would be the nature of it, like they're playing a big computer game?
Ordered sort of surroundings. I think, you know, you should be kept nice and neat and tidy.
Okay, right. Mike Riley would be going in with his dustpan and brush.
Yeah, he should do. Leeds director of football, Victor Orta, had a rent.
Did he?
I can't even read my own writing.
How much does he charge? Is it monthly or weekly?
Had a rant at Roy Hodgson for Palace not kicking the ball out, but surely Victor ought to know better. Thank you very much. All that for that. Wasn't worth it.
Yeah.
And I'm working from home today, as we mentioned right at the start of the show. And one of the problems working from home is what Sue has for her lunch. She had sardines today. I'm going to say two hours of having to do the show in a sardine atmosphere.
I love a party with a sardine atmosphere. It's like working with a moose again, wasn't it, when he used to put his microwave his fish and stink out the whole studio? Yeah,
very, very true. The Vendée Globe Round the World race got underway thrillingly yesterday.
Yeah,
it takes between 2 and 3 months to finish. It's not really a race, is it, as such?
Well, it doesn't, just because something takes 3 months doesn't mean it isn't a race, Andy. I'm not sure how that stacks up. I think it is.
I'm not going with it.
It's just a very long race, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a really great telly, isn't it? Long distance yachting.
I don't think I'd stay with it live on the red button, put it that way.
No.
Yeah.
And there's an article in the Guardian today caught my attention. It says,
it's an article in the Guardian?
That's a Guardian, did I?
No, you didn't. You said there's an article in the Guardian. Well, you go out there and get it. I'd love to know.
Honestly, this is like being under house arrest for me. You don't realise.
You've got your electronic tag back on, isn't it? You can't leave the house for 10 days, can you? We should point out, if you didn't join us in the... Andy does not have the virus, but his app went off, and so he is having to isolate along with our producer and assistant producer. So it's a bit weird at the moment. So, yes, carry on.
It's not ideal.
The Guardian said,
now Biden must tackle the causes of Trumpism by Thomas Frank. I was thinking, the manager of Brentford? I don't think he'd be writing that. No, it's not. It's Thomas Frank, an American political analyst and historian who probably gets a right coating every time Brentford lose.
He does, yeah. Poor fella on Twitter. He does. He's quite a well-known American politician, so to be fair to him. We managed to get through looking at the weekend's football without mentioning one of the great saves. Have you seen the Kasper Schmeichel save at the weekend? What a save. A real flyer up to the top left-hand corner. It's a fantastic stop.
I was watching sort of highlights of that one. But
it
that
was
been
world
in the
class. It was a sensational stop and very important to him, of course. Where it was from Raul Jimenez. What a save.
No, absolutely. And Brian Linford wrote to the...
Ruben Neves. Sorry, I do apologise.
Ruben Neves. Yeah, he's got a great shot on him, hasn't he? Brian Linford wrote to the Star with this very strange letter that I've now read three times and can't work out what he's on about. It starts like this. Alan Brazil tells Lineker to give it a break, read comments on social media on basically all but opening an envelope. I don't know what that means. He needs stimulation. For too long, has mind-blowingly commented at times on a 0-0 draw for eternity with three average pundits and now no crowds. BBC, give him something more in keeping with his salary, his need for self-expression and a bigger stage. That's a really odd letter, isn't it? In so many ways.
Now, not really a quandary. It could have been a quandary for some. In our garden, before I left to come at the studio there, in our garden were two big fat partridges wandering around, cock of the walk, the pair of them sort of walking around the garden. We obviously wouldn't let the dog out because it would have been carnage. But she didn't seem that fussed anyway. But they were big, big old birds they were. And you're thinking there will be someone out there thinking, well, you should have got the old... Should have got the old gun out. There's your Christmas. I couldn't. They were beautiful creatures, but they looked like they'd been fattened up for Christmas, whether they had been or not. But just having a little wander around the garden. So anyway.
You don't get those in Chiswick, funnily enough.
Well, you haven't got a garden. It would be quite difficult. There was an article here, but you haven't got one for partridges.
There was a diet article today talking of that. It says, lose up to a stone before Christmas. I was thinking, blimey, I thought Christmas had been cancelled. But never mind. I suppose you can still try.
Still something to aim for, isn't it? Very much to aim for.
Pep has said that the title race is like the US elections. I think, which team is Trump? We'll find that out in due course, I suppose.
Yes, we will.
And, I quite liked, this new tech. We often used to speak to Billsy about this. You know what, that show where they announce all the new technology that they've come up with? And they've come up with this thing. It's brilliant, this, if it works. It's airbags for older people.
Really?
So basically, we fall over. It detects as you fall to the ground.
If you have a fall... Nan has a fall or Grandad has a fall. Oh,
yeah, it protects the hips. Yeah, you wear these airbag pants and they inflate.
So just on the off chance, it's a nice idea. Okay, anyway, I know what I'll get you for Christmas now. That'll be good.
Thanks very much. And if you don't like your partner scrolling through their phone during when they're in bed, there's a new thing that's
Wi-Fi.
Thank you very much. Wi-Fi blocking. I'm hopeless here, aren't I? Wi-Fi blocking for your bedroom. Well, I mean, just turn your phone off, I suppose. But basically, it doesn't allow you to use the phone.
Okay, this is all good news. Anything else?
Yes, weather news. It's hotter than Marseille, according to one paper.
It's hotter than Mars.
It probably is, actually. It's very warm today. Hotter than Marseille and hotter than Greece. Yeah. I don't know why they can ever... They always have to do that. We can't work out what warm means. Yeah. But I think I can. I've had the window open 2 hours.
You've got to compare it.
It's pretty warm.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hawksby and Jacobs here on Talk Sport. Well, over the years, Professor Bill Ribbons has worked with lots and lots of different sports people and sports themselves, rugby, football, and quite memorably, F1 as well, a story I'm sure he'll be able to tell us in a few moments' time. He's now pulling these stories together and his thoughts on the importance of surgery and different tales from the world of sports medicine in his new book, Knife in the Fast Lane, A Surgeon's Perspective from the Sharp End of Sport. And he joins us now. Good afternoon, Bill.
Good afternoon, Paul and Andy. Thank you for having me on.
Pleasure, yeah. Very entertaining. It kind of strikes me reading it that when somebody in sport needs to call on your services, you're the very last person that they want to see in the nicest possible way because they've probably exhausted everything else before they come to the surgeon. And I mean, obviously, you know, you're very important in the whole process, but they've done so much until they get to the point where surgery is necessary.
Oh, yes. They often dread coming to see the surgeon. As you say, at that stage, the injury may be threatening their careers. You know, certainly upcoming important Olympic Games, World Championships, things like that. So they're very, very anxious usually when they come and see me.
You have a responsibility, don't you, to all your patients? But with a famous sports person, it's their career. Is that a pressure for you?
It is a pressure. It's a pressure to obviously to give them the right information. And I think what you've got to do is to assess the injury with the athlete and what they have to do. If you're looking at somebody, say, 6 months before an Olympic Games or a World Cup, have they got time to recover from their injury? If you're going to offer surgery, not only to go through the rehabilitation, but to get back up to the level they need to be. And you've got to factor in everything apart from just the injury itself.
You also have to be the bearer of bad news, Bill, at times, I'm sure. You maybe after a surgery, you've opened up, you've looked at a player's leg or whatever, and you've thought, you know, this is not going to work. It might be, it's short term. I'm going to have to break the bad news that this could be it, which can't be easy.
No, it's never easy. And I mean, what you're talking about mostly is when you get inside a joint and you find the arthritis is perhaps worse than you thought. And I think not only have I got to be mindful and skillful at the way that I break that news, but I think that's when working within a team environment helps, you know, the teams within teams, you know. And I often encourage the sports doctor to come into surgery, the physiotherapist, because it helps if the team around the player, the athlete, have also seen exactly what's going on. It helps disseminate the message.
On the positive side, though, to see an athlete win after you've helped them must be incredibly rewarding as well.
Oh, it's immense satisfaction, you know, to have had that opportunity to look under the bonnet of an elite athlete, elite rugby player, footballer, and then 6 months, a year later, to see them winning major championships, gold medals, it's a source of enormous satisfaction.
Yeah. I mean, as we saw in the recent All or Nothing at Tottenham, you know, we know the medical teams are crucial to the successful running of any sort of sports setup, but they're not always the most popular people with the managers, are they? We saw those situations that they are the bearers of bad news. They're the ones who have to go and say, it's not going to be 2 weeks, it's going to be 8 weeks. It's going to need surgery, those sorts of moments. So you say it's a team game, but that can't be an easy part of the process either, dealing with the clubs at the sharp end.
No, it's not. And I kind of have, over the last 40 years, fulfilled two roles. One is actually being part of the club or organisation setup, and also being the surgeon in my clinic. And what you're kind of talking about is that balance between welfare and performance. We understand, particularly in elite soccer, rugby and cricket, that the coaches as well as the players are under enormous pressure. They want them back as quickly as possible. I think inevitably the doctors are going to be a little bit more pessimistic. They're going to be more conservative. And it's trying to find that right balance. And of course, what you need is to have that good relationship with the managers and the coaches so that they understand and they respect your views.
It's not just a tale of surgery, though, is it? I mean, you discuss concussion, mental health, a lot of these other issues that are a big part of sport now.
They are. I mean, concussion, thankfully, particularly in rugby, but obviously we're seeing all the concerns about football. You know, we've seen the passing of Nobby Stiles and come forward from Bobby Charlton's family. So there are short-term and long-term concerns about concussion, and we really do need FIFA, World Rugby, the English Cricket Board, we need everybody, these major sporting international organisations, to lead and to look carefully at the welfare and how they can make the games we all love following as safe as possible.
The advancements in sports surgery have made a huge difference to players. I mean, players that would have had to end their careers can now, you know, they're going to have a spell out, but they can look forward to coming and playing again and potentially being as strong as ever. So probably even in the period of your career, you've seen huge advancements.
Oh, enormously. I mean, if you go back, you know, before my career, you go back and look at Brian Clough. He was finished at a very young age with an anterior cruciate ligament injury. He just didn't come back. Now players obviously expect to come back. When I started 40 years ago, if you wanted to look inside somebody's knee, they were going to have a great big slash down the side of their knee. And my recollection as a junior doctor, you know, that was going to take about 3 months before they could bend it again. Now, you know, we put cameras in and the patient will go home the same day. We didn't have MRI scans. I remember the first MRI scans arriving and us realising all the things we've been missing. So enormous advances.
We talked about the pressure of working on top level sports people, but there's a wonderful story in there about Michael Schumacher. When you're based in Northampton, not far from Toaster, of course, where the British Grand Prix is run, and you found yourself, everybody outside the hotel, big load of media outside the hospital where you were working, Northampton General. The full F1 circus, because you had to operate on Schumacher and you were told in no uncertain terms, don't mess it up.
Yeah, I mean, it was 21 years ago. And like everybody, I was sitting at home watching the Grand Prix, and it was on the first lap, Schumacher went into the corner, slammed in, and as everybody knows, unfortunately broke his leg and was helicoptered. And I remember driving into the hospital and listening to the radio saying that he was in the helicopter and he was being taken to one of the elite hospitals in the country. They talked about Nottingham, Oxford. And I thought, no, he's coming to my market town in Northampton. and Schumacher arrived, but then about within 30, 40 minutes, the press corps, Ferrari, everybody arrived, and it was chaos. And it was trying to find that little bit of downtime so you could concentrate on what you got to do, away from the media. And it made me realize the 72 hours that it went on for, what pressures these elite sports people have to deal with all the time. For me, it was just a couple of days, but it goes on all their lives. Yeah. It really is difficult.
And what about the future of sports medicine? Is there stuff going on that maybe we don't know about that's going to kind of advance it even further?
I think there's, well, we've talked about the safety aspects, and I think we need to have a look at how we can make it safer, but not taking away that essential essence of what we all love. I think we're doing more and more non-surgically. I'm probably talking myself out of a job here. and of course, sports science, our ability to rehabilitate people, has grown as with our surgical skills. And I think we're learning more and more about how we can repair damaged joints, damaged tendons, damaged ligaments without necessarily resorting to the knife. And so I am hopeful that as we go forward over the next 10, 20 years, is that there will be more and more non-surgical solutions to keep our athletes fit and healthy.
Yeah. Well, look, good to talk to you, Bill. Best of luck with the book. Thanks for joining us.
Okay. Thank you for having me.
There we are. That's Professor Bill Robbins there. Knife in the Fast Lane is his book, A Surgeon's Perspective from the Sharp End of Sport, published by Pitch and out in hardback now. You listen to Hawksby and Jacobs here on Talk Sport.
The Hawksby and Jacobs daily podcast from Talk Sport.
Don't ask me to leave it out.
Here we go then. Five questions for Andy based on last week's show. Maybe that little bit of physical distance with him at home today might mean he gets the... the 5 out of 5. We spoke to the manager of which football club on Friday? His team were in the FA Cup against Harrogate that evening.
Skelmersdale.
Skelmersdale. Aye. He's off. Yeah, they didn't
I'm under pressure. The wife's here, so it's difficult.
On Thursday, we spoke to the author of Klopp, My Liverpool Romance. He shares his name with a famous Hollywood actor. What was his name?
Anthony Quinn.
You've locked it up, you cheat. I knew you would.
I had to.
You
I just couldn't remember.
Yeah, cheat. So, okay, it's a little asterisk next to that one because you admitted. Anyway, we spoke to Scott Murray, a Ashton Gate legend. Now does what other job at the club?
Kit man.
I don't like the look at this. As I said, it's a bit dodgy.
Well, I'll be disqualified anyway. I did look up.
We spoke to a mayor on Tuesday. The mayor of which city?
The mayor of which city?
Yeah.
God. Really? Did we speak to a mayor?
Yeah, I spoke to a mayor, yeah.
You had a mayor.
Yeah, you're having a mayor by the sound of it. That's true, yeah, as Adrian says. God,
shut up, Adrian. No? It's bad enough when I'm in the studio. Adrian from about 10 miles
He comes
miles
in especially
away.
Early for this. He brings popcorn.
No, I'm done on that one, I'm afraid.
The mayor of Burnley, Wajid Khan, to tell us about Jimmy Anderson getting a street named after him.
Jimmy Anderson Street.
And who came in to tell us about his book, The Last 100 Years, Give or Take and All That, last Monday?
That's going well.
That's a long time.
In my life,
that's a long time for Andy.
That's a long time.
It's an eternity.
In my life.
Al Murray.
Oh, of course.
It's on the tip of his tongue, though.
Oh, of course. He would have sat there. It was 9:30. He wouldn't have got that. Well, that's it.
What a fine effort.
Well done, Andy. One, you cheated. On two, you got wrong. But apart from that, it's fantastic.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
There we are. We're back tomorrow from one. We hope you enjoyed that. We will catch up with you then. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.